the same, the substance.
Cancer responds. I gotta
every
run
sickness,
over.
Every disease. Got to respond.
So my family responds.
To our members.
I gotta run over.
All respond, Lord. To our hearts, Lord.
I wanna run over.
All are running over.
I wanna run over. Fill me up till I overflow. Come on. I wanna run over. I wanna run over. Say, fill me up till I overflow. I wanna run over. I wanna run over.
Yes, Lord. To your fire and your spirit run over within us, Lord. Till all the chaff is burned away, Lord. Till the gold is purified, Lord. Till everything that is wax is melted, Father. Till everything that is clay is hardened like it's supposed to be. So, Lord, that we can walk in your way. Fill us up with the overflow. Fill us up this morning, Lord. We receive the filling, Lord. We receive of your spirit. Of your wisdom, your guidance by your spirit. Of your truth by your spirit. Of your light and your love by your spirit this morning. I thank you for the overflow, Lord. Wherein we can see the beauty and the grace that are released. Hallelujah. Let your overflow touch each heart this morning. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. We give you all praise this morning. Thank you for the nature of your spirit releasing love and overflow this morning. Glory, 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 Lord. Glory, Lord. Glory, Lord. So there's a habitation established by your overflow, Lord. A habitation established by your love, Lord. Because we can have you. We can have all of you. We release that place this morning. We rejoice in it this morning. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Good morning. Good morning. How are you this morning? That's a tasty little breeze coming through here this morning. Glory to God. Hallelujah. A great place for us to just rejoice in Him and rejoice in what He does so perfectly, so wonderfully. Hallelujah. You know, there are so many things. Fire is such an agent of change. The fire of God is also an agent of change. But to see, natural fire will begin to, if a substance like clay is exposed to fire, it begins to harden and form and become and be shaped into its purpose. He says you can take a lump of clay and make it into a vessel that can be serving the kingdom. But see, if it comes into contact with a substance like wax, then wax will melt away. The same fire that hardened also will melt. And the same fire that will come and burn away the dross will bring the beauty out of the gold, bring the pure to the surface. When I was much younger, we reclaimed gold from all these old computers, and it was quite a process. But everything that we would do that would burn away all the impurities only left the gold in its pureness. So we turned something that was probably less than 10 karat gold into 23.999999% gold, just by letting the fire burn. In the same way, God wants to bring the beauty out in each one of us, the purity out in each one of us. And as we do so, as we allow His process to work in our heart, it's bringing forth something that is desirable. It's bringing forth something that is holy and pure in its whole intent. Hallelujah. So this morning, I want to do one thing that's a little bit differently. I'm going to put my phone right up here. Because Miss Tina tells me that she's up there in Dallas, Arlington there. and with baby girl Micaiah, and they're just getting Micaiah situated. So, but they're watching online. So, in case these people forget to amen, I want to see your amen, Kena. I want to see it right here. Okay. So right here, I'm looking, I'm watching. Hallelujah. I'm expectant. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I think we got a good crowd in here this morning. You guys are helping me out. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We got the double blessing of the twins up here, both of them today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What a deal. What a deal. Do you have an offering? Awesome. Hey, okay. Let's receive her this morning. Let's go. Glory to God. I mean, I'll tell you what. I don't know about anybody else, but I've been so blessed by these things that you release. Hallelujah.
Thank you. It's an honor to stand before you when I had the privilege to do so. First, I just wanted to share with you during worship what God was showing to me and speaking to me. And so he said alignment. I'm bringing this house in alignment. And I even saw each of your lives almost like, you know, a twig, and there's like a break in the twig. God was bringing that twig into one. Right, so even in your individual household, he's bringing you into alignment. And I think that really ties in. So I just want to say that it's no coincidence that Pastor Chuck, you know, asked me to come up here, because the Lord, even before I know whether I'll be up here or not, he starts speaking to me about you. Right. God, you are on God's mind. Right. Throughout the week, he is thinking about each and every one of you. He's thinking about your concerns. He's thinking about your future. Right. Like, you are on God's mind. So even throughout the week, before I get here Sunday, he's already been talking to me about you, his plans for you. And so one of the things, the scripture that he gave me for this morning was out of Luke 16 and 11. And I'll read just a little bit. We're 10. It says, he who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is also unjust in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And so as the Lord was speaking to me about this scripture, you know, it was really about him showing me that, you know, in a lot of areas of our lives, we as Christians, right, we're faithful to God, right? We love God. We come, we worship him. We pour our hearts out before him. But the area of money is a challenging area for his church. Because of whatever's happened in the past or with pastors or whatever the situation is, there's an area of untrust when it comes to our money. And I can just share with you personally, and I think I've shared this before you before, you know, my husband and I, we've struggled, right? So most of my life, when I think back, it's been struggle. It's been hardship. And there came to a place where it was almost like, if I was honest with myself, I stopped trusting God in my finances. Because I wasn't sure. There had been so many times when I had felt lack and had been in lack and in that dry place for so long that it just seemed like when I would hear the message, it was like, man, God, and I would go before God and I would bring him my all and I would sow, and then I would have so much hope. And then over time, it seemed like the hope would fade away. But then the Lord gave me a new heart. And I start recognizing that all of it flows through our heart. So as I was giving in works and obedience and faithfulness. And if I'm really honest with you, out of fear, right? Because I was like, well, God, I'm not going to rob God, right? Will a man rob God, right? And so I would bring in fear. But that's not what God wants for us, right? He has given us a word. He is aligning our household. And this money thing is a serious thing to God. Not because he needs your money, right? But because it's an area of our heart that we've kept protected from him, right? It's a part of our hearts, of our souls that we've said, God, you can have everything else, but this is mine, right? I'm not sure I really trust you with this right here, right? And so this morning, I just want to encourage you today to really, we're going to pray and just examine your heart, open up those areas of your heart and just allow God, right? This is not a manipulation. So one thing that as God has taken me through this journey is I only give what the Holy Spirit tells me to give, right? So if you trust the Holy Spirit, you never have to worry about being manipulated by man, right? If you only move when the Holy Spirit says move, right, then he's been teaching us, right, that he has these generational blessings for us, right? He has these things for us. And so if we move when the Holy Spirit says move, then we're in a safe place. Right? We can trust that whatever it is that we're doing is only of God, right? And not of man. And so I'm just going to pray today. Lord, Heavenly Father, we just thank you. We love you. We worship you today. You are a mighty God. And I thank you for the heart that you have for this body, for your people, God. I thank you for the plans and purposes that you have for us, Heavenly Father, that they're good and not of evil, to give us a future and a hope. So I bring before you, God, this house and every person in it, Lord. I bring before you their hearts, their minds, their souls, Lord. Only you know their individual walk, Heavenly Father. And I just pray for healing. I pray for restoration. I pray for wholeness, Lord God. I pray, Lord, that each person may experience your divine alignment. Alignment in every area of their life, Lord God. I pray for deliverance, Heavenly Father, of any area, Lord, that has kept them bound and from walking in the full manifestation of your plans and purposes for them today. So God, we come to you with an open heart, Lord. We come to you in all holiness and gratitude for everything that you have done for us, Lord, and we present our offering to you, Lord, and let it be acceptable to you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hey, Chris, let me bring it down just one sec. Let me just do this, too. And you can come, but I want to just hold it. That was a beautiful encounter. That was beautiful. And let me just, on the behalf, as a standing here, as a pastor in the place of a priest, let me just repent to you for any abuses, any manipulations, anything that have caused, any deceitfulness, anything that has caused an issue of trust in your heart in this area. I just repent on behalf of all the pastors, all the leaders who have disappointed or hurt or caused an offense. And Lord, I just ask for a cleansing of the hearts, Father, of every pastor and every leader, Father. We release forgiveness over them. And as that pastor or leader, Lord, we receive the forgiveness, Lord. And Lord, I just ask for each and every heart here, Lord, to be set free of disappointment, to be set free of hurt, to be set free of control or manipulation, to be able to reflect in joy what God has already ordained and set for each heart. Amen. Miss Chris, God bless you.
You lead us by still waters into mercy. Nothing can keep us apart. So remember your people, remember your children, remember your promise, oh God. Strong.
I'm gonna sing.
Louder now. Share your grace.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. So I got a question for you. How many of you got up to watch the royal wedding? Couldn't watch the, okay. But see, you're here also. So give yourself a congratulation. The ones in the second service, I ain't going to give them a congratulation. Hallelujah. So we're going to turn to two places this morning. Because if you can get up to watch something like a royal wedding, you can get up and come to church. You can get up and meet God and see what God is going to do. Because God has got something for you. And there ain't nothing for you in that wedding, but there is something for you in this place. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So congratulations for everybody who got here into the house this morning. Glory to God. You got to take care, take advantage of these things when they come up, okay? So we're going to turn to John 14. I want to give you a brief reference to a scripture, and I want to conclude today with coming back to this scripture. We can play for the offering. Oh, I'm getting prompts from the audience here. So, Lord Jesus, I just thank you. I thank you, Father, for every heart, Father, both that was amended and tended today. I thank you for the intentions of their heart, Father. I thank you for the blessing, Father, that it is for this house. I thank you for a blessing it is over their house, Father. I thank you, Lord, that in the world of the kingdom, in this place of the kingdom, in the place of the Spirit, Father, everything, Father, is reciprocal. That there's a fullness that is delivered to each and every one who's participated this morning by here physically or over the internet. It doesn't matter, Father, that I just release the blessing of the house and fruitfulness over their lives. Amen. So John 14, we're going to look in John 14, and then we're going to look in John 3. Hallelujah. I'm going to tie some things together. Because God, when He speaks in a continuous fashion. He's always building to where He goes. See, and where He's built to, this is where He gets to. John 14, verse 12. Says, truly, truly, I say, in other words, it's very much assured. When he says truly, truly, he's saying, or verily, verily, he's saying, it's assured. It's assured. I say to you that he who believes in me, the works that I do, he shall do also, and greater than these he shall do, because I go to the Father. And greater than these, greater works than these, he shall do, because I go to the Father. Let me just say that that means more than you think that it means. It means more than you think it means. It's not just about the works. It means more than you think. I'll come back to this when we get done. Okay? That's the hook. You ready to go with? Glory to God. Okay. Tina's trying to make an excuse that her connection's lagging. Let's not go there now. Come on. Don't pull me over in the tech world. I don't need that this moment. Glory to God. So now let's jump over to John 3. This is the story of Nicodemus. Nicodemus begins to show up and he begins to talk to Jesus. So let's just kind of drop in here and read a few verses. John 3, verse 1. Now, understand that John 3, all the way down through 21, is a discussion with Nicodemus. All of it's one discussion with Nicodemus. And see, Nicodemus is a lot more prevalent than we think. So let me just say right here, verse 1. Now there was a man of Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to him by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you have come from God as a teacher. For no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. And Jesus answered to him and said, truly, truly, I say, what does that mean? It's assured. I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now we'll go on there from there in a minute. Now let's set some background. The background is that Nicodemus is coming, and we see that Nicodemus is a ruler of the Jews. That means he's a man of influence. He's a man of wealth. He's a man who actually shows up three different times in John's testimony of Jesus. Nicodemus must have been somebody who was pretty important in the city. We can tell that by the things that we see about him and around him. But as a ruler of the Jews, he had something in his mind. He had something in his mind, and he said, I see a man who is doing miracles, and I believe because of those works that he's doing, that there's something happening in his life, and because of that, maybe he's the one that we've been looking for. Now, the other problem, there is a problem, however, with his thought process, because he being a Jew and a ruler of the Jews, everything that he had been exposed to in his life was confirming and affirming him as a, with his Jewish heritage as being a superior race. As being someone who was, that God's grace was upon, his favor was upon, simply because he was a Jew. And in addition to that, not only was he a Jew, and so which was the people that God had chosen, but he was also a ruler, meaning that he was over all the rest. And he was the one who would expound the limits of the law. He would expound and tell them what the law said was for them to do. So those were mindsets. But see, even this man was looking. He was looking for something. And that's why he came. He was still looking for something. Now, the Jews had a need there because they were under a Roman occupation. And being under the Roman occupation, they were looking for freedom from that Roman occupation. So they were looking for the deliverer, but they were looking for a deliverer in the natural. They were looking for someone to be set in as king. Someone who would step up and become king like David had become king, so that the Jews could once again rule and reign in the land, so that the Jews could once again be freedom from the tyranny of oversight and freedom from the Roman government, but also have dominion over all that was around them. That was their expectation. That was their desire, was for a natural king. And he thought, maybe this is that person. See, we don't necessarily understand this in the context, but maybe put it in a little bit more modern day context for at least for some of us. Some of us are probably younger than this, but we'll all remember these events. But what if Martin Luther King got to meet President Nixon? That's the kind of meeting this was when he came to him at night. The leader of the nation was meeting with the leader of the people. There was one who the people were following, and there was one who represented all. See, Nicodemus represented all the government official. But Jesus was leading the people. He was leading the people. And they recognize there's something there about this. And he came to him because he's leading the people. He came to him because he wants to, there was miracles and signs and wonders that were happening around him. The works were happening around him. And it had to mean, hey, this man is being anointed by God. Maybe he's our king. Maybe he's our king. This is the background. Does it put it in a little more context? Okay. And so Jesus answered, said, truly, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And now, when he says one is born again, there is something else that you need to know. See, the Jews had a process when somebody was outside, was not Jewish, but chose to come, if they were a heathen nation, and they chose to become a Jew, to submit themselves to the Jewish law, they called that a new birth. So they had a concept of a new birth, even in this conversation. But the difference is, he said, if a man. Meaning, he didn't make a separation whether you were Jewish or heathen. Jesus didn't make a separation in his statement. His statement was inclusive. In other words, if you're a human being, you must receive. You must receive. There is no other way to do this. It doesn't matter what your heritage is. Right there in that one statement, he already told him, your heritage is not the problem. Your heritage is not the solution either. Your heritage is not the thing that's going to bring you to me. That only comes by one thing, being born again. And all must be born again, regardless. And so he says, how can we enter a second time into his mother's womb? See, his confidence was all in his physical heritage. But his physical heritage didn't say who he was in the spirit. Jesus is addressing this. Now you got to remember, this is a man whose livelihood depended on him and the system that was already built around him. And Jesus is saying some of this. This is probably a little bit offensive in his thinking. It's right there in his face, but he's choosing to follow after God. He's hearing something here for the first time. He doesn't understand it yet, but he's hearing it. So Jesus answered, truly I say to you, unless one is born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Now he's beginning to clarify that. That natural birth, that birth by water, that natural birth that happened to you when you were born into this earth, that's one thing. But that natural birth will never bring you to the kingdom of God. It's only the birth of the Spirit that happens to bring you into the kingdom of God. It's only the birth of the Spirit that can bring you into that place that I have set for you. Hallelujah. That's really good news. Because say that means I don't have to be a Jew to find Christ. I don't have to be a Jew to get into the kingdom of heaven. I can get in the end of the kingdom of heaven regardless of who I am, regardless of where I've been, regardless of what my past might be, regardless of what my heritage might be, regardless of anything else. All I have to do is rest. Lord, I want to know you. Like in my case, what I asked him, Lord, just make me your conduit. Make me a conduit of your love. I didn't know how to ask him into my heart. I just did what God prompted me to do. I think he's doing a really good job of fulfilling my request. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hey, Tina, they're clapping. That's good. That's awesome. It's working. So that was, that which is flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel, I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but do not know where it comes from, where it's going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. In other words, there's a power and an authority that begins to happen because of the Spirit of God moving in your life. Because of the Spirit of God. See, wind is a powerful force. We can feel the effects of it. We can stand. If you've ever been in Houston, Texas during a hurricane, you can see the effects of the wind. It is an amazing thing because in Elisha, when the hurricane, the eye came close enough that it actually passed over my house. When the eye passed over my house, this was what, back in 1981, something like that. But when I passed over my house, I went outside and drove around. Don't do that. Okay, that's really stupid. Do not do what I did. Okay, don't follow my lead. Be smarter. But it was impressive because you could look up in the eye and you were sitting in this dead still. It was dead still. And yet up in the air circulating around, I could see stuff going through around in this big, huge circle around me that the wind was carrying. You know, one day here, last year, I believe, and it actually happened a couple of times, I've woke up and my car is covered in red dirt, which comes from Odessa. So in other words, the wind picks something up, stirs it up, and drops it. I mean, that's a good 7 to 8 hours of driving from here. I mean, hundreds and hundreds of miles, and it drops it here. The wind is a powerful force. The wind goes where God wants it to go. And you know what? We don't get much chance to stop it. I was working on my house, and had this fan set up to blow the dust out as I was doing some things and sanding on some stuff. But every once in a while, the wind would come kick up, and all that stuff I was blowing outside came right back in. And I was just, all of me covered in an instant. The wind is a powerful force. So it's the Spirit. He was trying to give them a natural illustration, because we can't see the Spirit, but we can sure measure the effect of the Spirit. We can't see the Spirit, but we can recognize the effects of the Spirit in our life, because it's the Spirit, it's by the Spirit that every change happens. See, Nicodemus had this thought process that we could actually improve the old man. Well, I'm here to set you free. Stop trying to improve the old man. It's just not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Stop it! Stop it! We can't improve the old man. The only person only thing we can do in this process is allow the new man to come forth. To allow the new man, the person of the Spirit, the person that we're born again into, to come forth. Because when we begin to do what it takes to bring the new nature and the new creation forward, when we begin to inhabit that place, now change happens. Change happens. It doesn't happen by trying to corral the old nature or the old person. You know what? Even if you could, that still wouldn't be a healthy thing. I want you to think about this. Trying to improve the old man only results in dysfunction. Why? Because if you manage to improve yourself, improve your old man, what's that going to do? If you manage to follow all the rules, all by your little old lonesome, all that's going to do is cause you to get puffed up and in pride. But if you don't, and you slip up, and you make a mistake, now what happens? Now you get in shame and condemnation, and you're shrinking back from God. Neither one of those is a good result, but it's the result of trying to improve ourselves by the natural processes instead of allowing the Spirit of God to move in our life. God wants to release in you a Spirit of God that changes who you are. He wants to release in you a Spirit that begins to overcome and overthrow everything that was not of Him. Because it's in that overcoming, it's in that overthrowing that we become who God said we can be. It's His nature. When His nature comes forth, it changes things. When His nature comes forth, it begins to release hope and possibility and strength that could not be released any other way. It's who He is. The overcomer dwells in you. He dwells in you. And when we engage Him for who He is, I'm spitting all over this mic. When we engage Him for who He is, then we can have what He said we can have. Hallelujah. It's about engaging. The point He's making with Nicodemus is we have to engage the new nature. We have to engage who He said we can be. We have to do it by the Spirit. It's not an improving of our thought process. Now, I'm not saying don't improve your thought process, because if you don't got nothing else, that's a good thing to go with. It's better than staying in the old thought process. But just changing our thought process doesn't change who we are. We got to engage the Spirit of God, because this change will happen by the Spirit. When we are engaging the fire of God, we have to engage it by the fire, by the Spirit. Why? That's why He released the Holy Spirit and fire, because those are the two agents of the change in our lives. We engage by the Holy Spirit and fire. Because the Spirit of God will begin to blow upon what the fire is consuming. And when the Holy Spirit begins to blow on what the fire is consuming, now all of a sudden we have something that's being made manifest to us, being made clear to us in a way we couldn't see it before. Without condemnation, without guilt, but just with a fullness of a holiness and a love being released over our life. Hallelujah. It changes the way we serve when we're serving by the Spirit. I love what Justin said Wednesday night, because Justin said that there was a point in time where he was serving. He was going everywhere, doing everything for everybody. If you asked him, he just did it. And you know, after a while, when you start doing whatever people ask you, they just ask you to do more. And he said he knew he was headed into burnout, but he didn't know how to stop. Why? Because when you're serving and you're doing it out of the natural face, instead of out of what God is doing in the Spirit, it takes a big difference. And he said, when you begin to sit down and begin to understand who you are in Christ, and you sit in front of Him and you allow Him to minister in your heart and bring fruitfulness into your heart, bring a place of Spirit and life into your heart, now when you begin to minister out, it's coming out of the abundance and the overflow, not out of your need. If I'm ministering to you out of my need, I'm missing the point. If I'm ministering to you out of the overflow, I'm releasing Spirit. 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 And guess what? That doesn't put a toll on me. It doesn't drag me down. It only increases me and causes me to have more joy and more life in me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we see here that verse 11, truly, truly, I say to you that we speak what we know and bear witness of that which we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. This is Jesus speaking, and the we is He and the Father and the Holy Ghost. And they're releasing truth into Nicodemus. They're releasing truth for him to grab a hold of. He who came in the middle of the night is getting truth, and he's receiving a great light. And he says here, I told you earthly things, but you did not believe. How shall you believe if I tell you heavenly things? And the very next statement, he tells them a heavenly thing. And no one has ascended into heaven but he who has descended from heaven, even the Son of Man who is in heaven. What did he just tell him? He said, I am the one you've been looking for. I am the one who is the Son of God. I am the one who is standing in front of you, and yet I'm fully man and fully God. And I'm habitating both places right now. And because I can stand right here, I can release you to inhabit heaven with me. Because I'm come from heaven, I can truly give an accurate description of what heaven is, because no one else has ascended to heaven to know and come back and tell you. But I can tell you because I came from there, and when I tell you, it's true. It's His nature. See, God is only going to release truth. And He wanted him to understand, I am right here in front of you. The very thing that you're seeking, it just doesn't look like you thought it was going to look like. And He begins to describe that just a little bit more right here. And He says, as Moses was lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that whoever believes in Him may have eternal life. We have to lift up. What is he saying there? See, you're looking for David. You're looking for David and Solomon to come back and be lifted up and set on an earthly throne. But I'm telling you, there's one who's going to be lifted up in a way you do not yet know. But when he's lifted up and he's put upon that cross, as a serpent was put upon the cross, then the deliverance that you're looking for is going to happen. It's not going to be just for the Jews, but it's going to be the entire world. All at one time. The whole world. When I'm lifted up, the whole world is set free. When I'm lifted up into a place and in a way you do not yet know, but a whole world is relieved of their suffering. So if God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. I'm going to come back to that in a minute. See, it's a whole lot like what goes on with a caterpillar and a butterfly. There's no place of transformation that exhibits what God is looking for more completely than that one. I believe he set that there for us to look at and see something in the natural that could allow us to get an idea of the nature and the way he wants us to transform. See, what you may not know is that when a caterpillar is alive and what it's doing, it eats 20 hours a day. There's no place for rest. 20 hours a day of its day is consumed just by eating, and all it's trying to do is just gain body mass. The more that it eats, the better it is. 20 hours a day, no rest. 20 hours a day, engaged in serving self. That's what it does. See, when a caterpillar is on, its eyes are set in such a way that what it's focused on is what's directly beneath it. So the only thing it sees is what consumes it right now. But when we come, then there comes a time when the caterpillar begins to form that, what they call the chrysalis, you know, it's the cocoon as we know it, and it forms that chrysalis, and in that chrysalis, a complete change happens inside that thing where its body is consumed and then reformed. There's a DNA. See, the DNA was always in the caterpillar to be a butterfly. But it begins to be tapped into. See, there's a DNA in you that God said before the foundation of the world is, I'm going to make man in my image. That DNA is still in you. It just needs to be brought forth. That means the rest of this has to go away. He's going to bring forth, and he's going to bring it forth out of his nature. He's going to bring it forth out of his abundance. And when the butterfly begins to come back forth, see, sometimes we think the transformation process is easy, but it's not. It has to come back through a little bit small, tiny hole. And when I was a kid, I saw a butterfly trying to come out, so I cut off the end of the hole. Guess what? Without that hole to squeeze through, the blood doesn't get pushed into its wings, and it never can come into the fullness of what it's supposed to be. It has to come through the pressure point. It has to come through that place of pressure in order to become the fullness of what it's released to be. And so, once the butterfly is formed, you know how much time it spends eating a day? 20 minutes. 20 minutes. Why? Because it's eating from a higher place. Because it's eating. See, it has a long proboscis, a long nose on it. And what it does is it reaches down into the nectar and takes the very most succulent part of the fruit and begins to absorb it into its body. And just 20 minutes a day sustains it for everything that it has need of. In 20 minutes, it can absorb all that it needs because of the richness of the food that it's now taking in. And see, now in that 20 minutes, not only is it taking in its food, but now he can begin to spend his whole day serving the kingdom, flittering from one place to another, and in the actions his feet get on those flowers, his nose gets in those flowers, and as he goes, he's pollinating everything he touches. He's about the business of the kingdom 24 hours a day. A day. No longer consumed with looking this downward at the earth, because see, the caterpillar's eyes, the butterfly's eyes now, actually be all are focused upward. Compound eyes that look up. So it's seeing upwards and outwards. It's no longer looking down at the ground. It's no longer looking at the thing it's trying to eat. It's consumed with looking out and going, guess where it goes? Wherever the wind takes it. Wherever the wind takes it. Wherever the wind takes it. It's just floating with the wind. The Spirit is leading it right to the next flower. The Spirit is leading it right to the next destination. The Spirit is leading it wherever it needs to go. See, this is the nature of the transformation. God is looking for us to where we are looking. We're no longer consumed with what the caterpillar was doing, but we're set free to float with the wind. We're set free to move by the Spirit. We're set free to go where He would said, go. Do what He said to do. No longer serving our own interests, but serving the kingdom just simply by being. How much effort do you think He's putting into trying to serve the kingdom? He's not. He's just being, and wherever He goes, He's serving the kingdom. Because it's His nature now. It's His nature now to serve the kingdom wherever He goes. Why? Because He now has a relationship with the Spirit that He couldn't have as a caterpillar on the ground. How much time do you think that butterfly, as he's flitting around, how much time do you think he spends worrying about becoming a caterpillar again? None. We need to quit worrying about being the caterpillar. We need to concentrate on being the one who can soar with the wind, move with the Spirit, and go where the Spirit would have us to go, and do what the kingdom would have us to do, just simply because we are there, not because we're trying, not because we're making these huge efforts, but simply because it's the nature of God in us. It's His purpose. It's His beauty for your life. A place where we can serve and be something that enables or empowers one another. Something that encourages one another simply because we're there and because we have a desire to release the kingdom. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, it comes when we begin to have this focus of being with the Father. Remember I told you that verse didn't quite mean and it meant something more than what we thought? Let's go back to John 14. But as you're going to John 14, let me read this. He's still talking to Nicodemus. But he who practices truth comes to light, that his deeds may be manifested as having been wrought in God. Remember, Nicodemus came to him in the middle of the night. He was hiding. He had a curiosity. He had something that was burning inside him, but he didn't know how to address it. But he came in the safety of the night. He came in the darkness so that his deeds were not made manifest to all of his fellow Pharisees and leaders and people in the society. But guess what? He began to hear and receive the light. Because we begin to read of Nicodemus. Nicodemus, you can read in John 7, in John 7, 39. We read in Nicodemus as being one that the other Pharisees were questioning, one who spoke out on the purpose of Christ. And then at Jesus' death, Nicodemus was the one who came and brought the spices to show his love for this Christ. Something happened in this encounter where he received and he began to walk in the light, because that deed had to be manifest in front of everybody. And that meant great courage on his behalf. And that meant something had happened in his heart to know, hey, I need to be transformed. I need to rise up and do what Christ has put in me. He was transformed. Why? Because he met the one who does the transforming. He encountered a living God. When we encounter a living God, something happens in us. So with that in mind, we're going to John 14 again. And it says, verse 12, just to remind you, truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I shall do, he shall do also, and greater works than these he shall do, because I go to the Father. The only problem is when he says, and greater works, that word's not in there. It's not in the original text. When it's italicized in your Bible, it means it wasn't part of the original text. It means somebody added it because they didn't know what else to do. But what he's actually saying is the works that I do, you're going to do also. But even greater than those works is getting to meet the one who is the maker and the author of the works. getting to meet the Father, because everything he's talking about in that whole chapter is about getting to meet the Father. Why? Because he's preparing a place for you. He's already prepared a place for you. And it's not what something he's doing. Sometimes we just relegate that to the place and the part of a funeral where, you know, he's prepared a place for you. No, he's prepared a place for you today. Right now. And because he's prepared a place for you, you can meet the author and have a relationship with the author. And as you have a relationship with the author, the works that Jesus was doing, they're going to flow around you because it's just who he is. In the same way that Jesus was just releasing the product of who he was, he was releasing the fruit of it, the same way that you release the fruit because you know him. We know the Father. I want to just say, I've been guilty sometimes of trying to pursue it intellectually instead of spirit by the Spirit. Because I have a capacity to understand things intellectually in a way that seems good to a man. But if I don't pursue it by the Spirit, I can't wind up at the place of the Spirit. I'm making a new determination in my heart to pursue it, to pursue my understanding, not like Nicodemus, but like Jesus was saying, by the Spirit, so that I can soar, so that you can soar. Because as I soar, you can soar. If I can do it, you can do it. Hallelujah. God bless you. We love you.